You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Keely Boltina. Coming up, this election week is dominated by politics, and sometimes it might feel like too much. We'll get some ideas for movies and TV shows that let you escape the horse race for just a bit.
Now, despite the warmer temperatures some parts of the state are getting this week, winter is coming, and we all know it.
Up until now, many of us have been able to make the best of the pandemic by doing activities outside or maybe even meeting up with friends outdoors. But now some of us feel the impending arrival of winter with some dread and anxiety, colder temps, fewer hours of daylight, and not a lot of places to go outside our homes.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is this a feeling that you're experiencing? And if so, what are you doing about it? Are you coping by buying nice things for yourself, sweaters, candles, baking things? Are you preparing to spend more time outside this winter, maybe by a fire pit or snowshoeing? You name it. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We've heard from some listeners on Facebook already. Pat says she's quilting. Mark says he plans to cut firewood and read the classics. I'm guessing not at the same time.
I would hope not. Our guest is Rachel Wilkerson Miller. She's deputy editor at Vice and the author of The Art of Showing Up, How to Be There for Yourself and Your People. She wrote the piece called If You're Already Dreading Winter, Here Are Some Small Ways to Prepare Now. Rachel, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you. Have you yourself or maybe people around you felt and expressed this concern already for the idea of winter dread?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually heard people start talking about it back in the summer. I think people were already, you know, sort of counting their blessings while they had the longer hours of daylight and the warmer weather and park hangouts with friends, and were really starting to worry about what would happen when those things went away. So I think this feeling has only been growing over the past few months and weeks.
This happens to us, right, because of all of the things that happen in the winter months, and yet this year still seems to be a bit different considering the pandemic. Are you sensing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, a lot of people already cope with seasonal depression, and so they would already be starting to kind of strap in for a rough time. And so to add on the pandemic to that is just a really overwhelming thing. You know, I think people, we were worried about isolation months ago. It's only going to get worse. And I think people are reasonably really worried about themselves, their loved ones, and the people they care about.
You recommend things to do ahead, actions to take now to make winter less painful. Why is acting now so crucial?
Well, I think that one of the things that will be different this time around is that we do have some of this time to plan and prepare. And we also know so much more now about how this virus spreads. So, you know, before we couldn't get masks for weeks or even months because like they just no one was making them, you know, shipping was really complicated. Whereas now there's been a bit of a return to normal in some areas of life. And that gives us an opportunity to say, okay, what can I do now while the supply chain is still working as it should, while I'm still in good health, while I can, you know, case numbers are a bit lower so I can go to this store or that store because it's still open. Like we have an opportunity and I would hate to squander it, you know, and wake up in December and say, oh my gosh, I wish I had done that back in October or November when I had the chance.
Right. That's one of the questions you encourage us to ask ourselves. You write, what in 4 months would I absolutely regret not doing when I had the chance? What are some things that bubble up on your radar?
Well, I think a lot of it is small things that I found myself thinking about in March, wishing I had done. So I didn't have a thermometer back then, which I think a lot of people my age didn't either. And so that's a thing that now I can buy so that if I am thinking I'm coming down with something, I can take my temperature. So that's a really small thing that I feel a lot better knowing that I have. But it's also things like food, like, you know, just having a little bit of extra pasta or beans or other canned foods around, or having, you know, like toilet paper and paper towels and hand soap, not hoarding it, but just getting a little extra with each grocery run that you do so that you're in better shape come winter and you aren't panicked or overwhelmed or, you know, having to make a trip to the grocery store when you shouldn't be.
And we'll reiterate, that doesn't mean clear out the shelves at Costco. It just means think ahead a little bit so that you have kind of a bit of comfort.
Exactly. Just, you know, you don't want to find yourself in a position where you're panicking or you can't get the thing that you need and that you're going to have to take unnecessary risks as a result. It's like, what are the small things that I can do now over the next few weeks, slowly but surely, so that I'm more prepared come winter?
And in everything that you've written in this article, you go back to that idea of it doesn't have to be big, focus on the small. Why do you do that?
Well, I think that, first of all, that's the way to do most things in life. Just it's easy to get overwhelmed and try to sort of revamp your life or change everything. And that's usually not possible. But I also think that the small things actually have a really big impact, that if you do something minor, whether that's getting, you know, a better pair of gloves or winter boots, I mean, those are fairly small things that can have a huge impact on how comfortable you feel every single day. So I think it's important to think about what are your biggest pain points right now? Is it that you're getting a terrible backache and neckache at the end of the day because you're working from home? Like, do you need to make a little standing desk, or do you need a lap desk or a better chair? Like, what are some things that would make your life meaningfully better every single day that are not, you know, moving to a new house or so you have room for an office? Like, it often doesn't have to be that complicated.
Rachel Wilkerson Miller is the deputy editor at Vice, and she wrote the piece, "If you're already dreading winter, here are some small ways to prepare now." So we've been talking about those practical steps we can take right now to make a difference as the days get darker and the temps get colder. You can join in with your questions or your ideas at 800-642-1234. The number is 800-642-1234. And we've got Eric from Lake Tomahawk who has an idea. Hey, Eric.
Well, hi there. I just was telling the guy, I have a corgi who not only is not much of a demon for deep snow, he doesn't have an off switch, so I make trails for him out through the woods, and I strap on my snowshoes every night, and I go for a walk. And once I have a decent trail made, then he can come along. But, yeah, he's my exercise program, and that's my winter.
Oh, Eric, that sounds like a lot of fun. And thank you for sharing that. And so Eric is saying, hey, I've got this pet who doesn't have an off switch. And goodness, already planning to snowshoe through the deep snow to make sure that there's a trail for the corgi. So sometimes it's really practical stuff, Rachel. Other times it's things that make us happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this idea. I think thinking about your pets is really wise, because a lot of times our pets are the thing that gets us, you know, out of the house during the day. And I think also thinking about what helps you socialize is a big part of it. So that might be taking your dog to the dog park, but it might also be setting up times to do Zoom calls with friends or weekly phone calls with your family members so that you're not getting too isolated and feeling alone. So just thinking about the little things that keep you going and really prioritizing them, I think is incredibly important right now.
And why do you think it's important? I mean, it seems like it's a mental health issue.
Absolutely. And I think we tell ourselves that we'll do these things or that we'll remember. But when you're in a dark place or just not doing very well and you're feeling overwhelmed, it can be really easy to forget all the things that make you happy or the people that you want to reach out to. So I think it's a good idea to actually just make a list of those things now. So maybe come up with a list of these are the shows that I want to watch or the books that I want to read, or here are my five like go-to movies that make me laugh every time. Because when you're put on the spot and you're just having a really rough day, it can actually be hard to conjure those things up. So do future you a favor, put that stuff in a place where you can find it so that you can easily refer to it when you're feeling down.
We are taking calls about beating the winter dread. The number is 800-642-1234. And Judy from Appleton is ready to share with us. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I just ordered and received a wonderful winter cap from the International Crane Foundation. So I'll face winter wearing my fun origami crane hat.
Oh, my goodness. That is such a great visual. Judy, thanks so much. And I have to look at Judy's language there. Judy's saying, I splurged on this. And one of the tips you give people is to consider, you know, if you can spend a little money to make yourself feel more comfortable or feel more like yourself, it might be worth it.
Yeah, I really think that's important. And I think it's thinking about what feels valuable to you. Like, it doesn't have to be something that everyone agrees is the best use of your money. It's thinking, what is the thing that's going to make me feel better or happier every day? And it's like a hat that's warm and that also makes you feel happy when you take it out and you put it on. That's incredibly, like, that sounds great. That seems like a great use of money. So it doesn't necessarily have to be something, you know, so practical that everyone would do the same thing in your position, but it's about what makes the most sense for you that you know, based on everything, every experience you've had and everything about this year, is going to be the thing that really helps you this winter.
We're talking with Rachel Wilkerson Miller, who's a deputy editor at Vice. She wrote the piece, "If You're Already Dreading Winter, Here Are Some Small Ways to Prepare Now."
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your small thing that you're doing to get ready for winter? Are you preparing a fire pit, adding to your collection of warm winter gear, maybe with a crane on top? Are you considering breaking out the snowshoes or skis or getting hold of some? Cozy clothing, lighting, what are you doing to get ready for winter? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We continue this conversation here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Keely Voltina.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking with Rachel Wilkerson Miller, deputy editor at Vice, talking about her piece, "If You're Already Dreading Winter, Here Are Some Small Ways to Prepare Now."
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Tell us how you're preparing to spend more time indoors or maybe outdoors in the winter. You can call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Nessa call. Hey, George.
Hi, I'm up in Ashland. And, you know, part of winter is not that it's just cold, but it's so darn dark. Mm. And so when it gets dark at 5 o'clock, that's kind of depressing. So a couple weeks ago, we just bought a whole bunch of these inexpensive, colorful strings of LED lights. You know, you get like 200 lights on a 50 foot string. And if you put them somewhere where you can look at them from inside the house, so out on the bush, we put them out on the barn, they can be on somewhere outside where you can see them in the dark. It mm-hmm. just lifts you up. And they're not expensive. They all a string of 200 lights draws like between 5 and 10 watts. So yeah, we just leave them on all day long.
Thank you so much for that suggestion. I am a sucker for being warm, and also I love the twinkle lights. Rachel, what do you think?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I'm looking outside out my window, and I can see twinkle lights all around our apartment, and it makes me so happy. And it really does make a difference. It really does make the space brighter, but it also just makes it feel cozier and happier. And, you know, I think people associate them with Christmas, but I think they're worth keeping on, you know, kind of year-round or at least through spring, because we need all of the little bits of brightness that we can get right now, both literally and figuratively. So I really love this tip.
Absolutely. George, thank you so much for bringing it up with your call at 800-642-1234. Rachel, a big concern I think people have with the holiday or with the winter season is really the idea of boredom, that we've gone yeah. through some of these hobby phases. If you haven't made sourdough yet, I guess you could start now, but you may have missed the trend. I mean, how do you suggest we approach winter hobbies at this stage of a pandemic?
Well, I think it's tough. I think that the boredom is going to be very real, and it's good to sort of mentally prepare for it. But I think one thing that people can think about is, you know, what worked for them in the spring and summer. And, you know, if you're realizing you're not a baker, you're never going to be, you're never going to make a perfect sourdough, you don't have to do it. You don't have to beat yourself up about it. I think one thing to think about are what are sort of one-off activities that you can do, whether that's doing a puzzle or playing a card game with the people who you live with. Just like, it doesn't have to be something that you do regularly or perfect. It doesn't have to be a craft or something like that. It can be really low stakes. It can be watching every episode of, you know, a show that was on 20 years ago that you never got to watch. Like these things can be sort of small and low stakes, and I think a lot more low pressure than I think we don't all have to perfect, you know, learn to play a musical instrument right now. It doesn't have to be that deep.
Low pressure. I like that. We've got Gene from Marshfield who is ready to talk with us. Hi, Gene.
Hi. One thing my wife and I like to do is during the winter, we grow microgreens in our basement. It takes very little equipment, just a few grow lights, some dirt, and it gives us something to do, something to tend every single day, and something to eat during the winter.
Hey, Gene, thanks so much. And something to eat during the winter. So that checks off something else that's on our list when it just comes to choosing things that make you happy and that make you feel good. Rachel, have you grown microgreens?
Not microgreens, but I did try windowsill scallions in the spring, which was great. And my girlfriend is currently growing morning glories. We don't know if they're going to survive the cold, but we might just keep them inside because we've gotten so attached to them. Like, this is so true that when you're tending to something, it really is remarkable to get to see it progress each day and to watch it grow. So I think that's a great tip. If you can find a way to garden indoors, it's absolutely worth it.
I will say I've seen a lot of people with lots of plants on my social media feed in this time. So people are really leaning into that green life there.
Mm-hmm.
And another challenge that we face in the wintertime is socialization. We've managed to keep it together during the summer. We've been able to see people outside. But goodness, this is Wisconsin and it's going to get cold.
Yeah.
And you can only be outside for so long. So how do you want us to think about that aspect of preparing for winter dread?
Well, I think that one thing you can kind of think about are what are the things that are going to give you the most bang for your buck and how can you kind of build things around that? So if you're somebody who is comfortable doing a pod and, or quarantining for 2 weeks and then seeing, you know, the people who mean the most to you, like really close family members, something like that might make the most sense, even if it means you have to give up certain other things to be able to do it. Whereas if you find that, you know, just having phone calls with people is enough for you, like lean into that, do more of that. So I think just figuring out what is the thing that will make me feel great for a really long time, because if socializing in person isn't kind of sustaining you and you're finding you have to do a lot of it to get the benefits of it, and you get similar benefits out of doing virtual hangouts, it might just be safer to do the virtual hangout. So think about what's going to give me the most sort of long-term health and happiness, and how can I do more of that, and then work in sort of these smaller substitutions in between those events.
Rachel Wilkerson-Miller is a deputy editor at Vice. We are talking about the piece that she wrote about if you're already dreading winter, here are some small ways to prepare now. So we're going over that here on Central Time. And we've got Mary from Racine on the line. Hi, Mary.
Oh, hi. I was just calling to say that I'm auditing a class at the university, and I think that if you're over 60, you can audit a university class and you don't have to pay for it. So I'm going to plan to audit one starting in January.
Oh, interesting. Mary, thank you so much for sharing that. And Rachel, you know, there are some opportunities with free online classes, whether it's what Mary's doing or just other free content that's available over the internet for people if they want to learn something new or try something different.
Yeah, I love that. I think it can be really, it's just really validating to learn something new. It gives, I think right now we're all just so desperate for novelty and kind of getting anything new into our brains. So I think whether, you know, getting really into a podcast where you learn something, you know, 99% Invisible is one of my favorites for just like learning random things that I didn't know from really interesting, smart people. So picking something like that, or just typing something into YouTube and seeing what comes up, watch a bunch of videos on microgreens or corgis or whatever the case may be. Just, it feels good to learn and it helps pass the time, but also in a way that makes you feel energized versus sluggish.
And then you get something new out of it that kind of relates to one of the other points that you have, which is really rooted in the pandemic. And that's that you're saying ahead of winter, you should really just kind of do some basic health stuff. What do you
think? Yeah, absolutely.
What do you recommend we do there?
Well, I think one of the first things to do is get a flu shot if you haven't yet. I think a lot of experts have been really pushing for that. So, you know, flu season goes on for a while, prioritize that. But also if you can do some kind of exercise routine, whether that's dancing in your living room or going for walks outside every day, whatever the case may be, make that a habit now so that come December and January, it's already coming kind of a second nature. I think trying to get enough sleep is always a good idea. Trying to feed yourself things that feel, you know, if not healthy, at least sort of nourishing, that make you feel better versus worse. Just really small things like making sure you're brushing your teeth, showering regularly, washing your hair, putting on clean clothes. Like these little things are often the first to go, and they're often the things that have such an impact on how we feel. So kind of just take stock of your physical body and your space and say, okay, what are like three small things I can do to feel a little bit healthier throughout the winter?
You also want us to pay attention to finding a recurring problem in our lives, maybe something small that drives us crazy, and really, again, focus on the small. What are some examples of the things you think we might be able to solve?
Well, I think you can look at what you're doing more of now and what gives you grief every time you use it. So I'm cooking a lot of beans. My can opener, like we had to get rid of a can opener because it wasn't very good. And it's like, this is something I deal with, if not every day, then several times a week. We need a good can opener right now. So it's looking for those little things that you wouldn't necessarily think about at first, but you're like, you know what, I'm freezing in this home. My feet are always cold. I need to get really good slippers or a really warm pair of socks, like things you wouldn't necessarily think about top of mind, but that you're interacting with every single day. Maybe it's you're getting you're not sleeping very well because you have a terrible pillow that you need to replace. That's something we need to get new pillows in my apartment. But just thinking about those things, you're like, what do I complain about the most? Can I solve that? Okay, I'm going to do that. And if you can't do anything else, I think just trying to find that one thing and tending to that is just, it's just such a sigh of relief, and it really will make a difference in how you feel.
I think we can welcome one more person to this conversation. Dwayne from Weston, what do you want to say today?
Oh, hi. How you doing? It's funny you mentioned beans. I just opened up a can of black beans, kidney beans, and chili beans. I'm making taco soup. But anyway, I was a ski instructor for like 3 years, and on the days I would go out and cover lessons or have to get off my other job and walk up to my car and it was cold, I felt great. You're going to be outside and it's getting motivated, and we've all went for walks on a winter day and you thought, I don't want to go, but when you got out there and did it, you came back from the walk, you felt invigorated and you felt like $1 million. And I think it's just that mindset of motivating.
Definitely. Dwayne, I'm going to jump in here because I want to give our guest, Rachel, an opportunity to talk about mindset as we wrap up this conversation. It's about your frame of mind.
Absolutely. And I think it's okay to say right now, I'm scared about winter. I'm worried about winter. To not pretend that you're not, to not put off dealing with this stuff because of the dread. I think we're all scared right now. There's a lot of dread to go around, and I think that's totally reasonable and okay. So I think first giving yourself permission to feel bad now and to feel bad come winter, like it's going to happen. We're all going to have bad days, but also, take a little bit of control, appreciate the good days and the good moments when you have them, and then find little things to do and trust that that's enough, that we'll get through this. Those little things will help a lot, and it won't always be like this. It'll get better.
Hmm. Rachel, thank you so much for walking us through this today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Rachel Wilkerson Miller is a deputy editor at Vice and the author of The Art of Showing Up, How to Be There for Yourself and Your People. She joined us to talk about her piece, If You're Already Dreading Winter, Here Are Some Small Ways to Prepare Now. And we've got a link to that piece up online. You can visit our website, WPR.org/Central Time.
Coming up, we'll talk to a TV critic about some of the best shows to give us a break from political news and get your suggestions for what to check out along the way. You can get started right now over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today at 6, NPR kicks off election night coverage and analysis, and WPR brings you state coverage starting at 8. That's coming up tonight here on the Ideas Network.
Now, there's going to be plenty of political coverage tonight and in the days ahead online, on the radio, and on the TV.
That's really important, and we'll be paying attention to it. I'll be paying really close attention to it, but it can also get exhausting, and sometimes we just need a break, maybe in the form of binge-watching TV shows and movies. And our next guest has some great suggestions.
And we'll take your suggestions, too. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. When you need a break, what are you watching? Is there a show, broadcast TV, or on a streaming service that you've been binging? Maybe there's one you're curious about, but you haven't watched it yet. Let's talk about it at 800-642-1234 now, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Jen Chaney is a TV critic at Vulture. Jen, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, Jen, election news, it's important stuff. I'll be providing it here tonight on the Ideas Network, but I have a lot of respect for the need to set it aside from time to time. How important is that for you?
It is important, although I will have to say it's easier for me because I have to watch entertaining TV as my job. So I have cable news on in the background as I speak to you. So I have an eye on both things at once.
Now, what show or shows have you really excited these days? Like, I can't wait to watch the next episode of Fill in the Blank here.
Well, some of them are shows that I've actually I've seen them in total, but not everybody else has yet. And one that I feel like people haven't talked enough about is The Good Lord Bird, which has been airing on Showtime. There are two more episodes of it left. It stars Ethan Hawke in just an unbelievable performance. And it's based on a novel. And it's really about Ethan Hawke plays John Brown, the famous abolitionist. And it's obviously based on some real history, but also with some kind of inventions along the way. And it's obviously dealing with a very serious issue, which is slavery. But it also has these weird kind of darkly comic moments that actually work really well. Tonally, it's a very, very, lean tightrope it's walking, but it walks it really, really well. And like I said, Ethan Hawke is he's a fine actor, but this might be the best performance he's ever given.
Yeah, a historical dramatization of, I think, a character in American history who people over the years have asked, why haven't we had movies and TV shows about this guy?
Right. And what's interesting is, you know, I think a lot of movies or TV shows would either try to make him into a black and white hero or villain. I mean, obviously he was trying to free black people from slavery. So he was working for a good cause, but sometimes his methods were a little unorthodox, but it really shows him in all his multifaceted, array of characteristics in this show. So I think it really takes a nuanced view.
Well, going to a setting much further away and much more in the distant past, apparently, The Mandalorian just kicked off its second season on Disney Plus. Here's a clip from the trailer to season two.
The songs of eons past tell of battles between Mandalore the Great and an order of sorcerers called Jedi.
You expect me to search the galaxy and deliver this creature to a race of enemy sorcerers?
This is the way.
I have not seen The Mandalorian my own self, but a lot of people are talking about it, raving about it, looking forward to it. Jen, is it all it's cracked up to be?
You know, I think it's really great. And one of the reasons I like it so much is that even though it's obviously big scope storytelling and that it's hopping from planet to planet, and obviously there's a lot of visual effects, but the storytelling itself is very economical. Like, each scene has a purpose. It's you know what's going on. Even if you don't know, you know, the backstory or whether something's canon in Star Wars or not, like, it doesn't overdo anything. And I think so much TV now, you watch an episode and you're like, well, this could have been 10 minutes shorter. Like, The Mandalorian, it's just very economical in its storytelling. And I really like that about it. And of course, I love Baby Yoda.
Yeah, that's been a big hit. I think kind of an unexpected hit. I don't think they knew they had some. They didn't have like toys ready to ship out when this thing first came on for this Baby Yoda, right?
Right, they didn't. I mean, some of it was they were trying to not spoil anything. As usual with Star Wars, there's a certain level of secrecy. But yeah, they could have been a little bit better prepared on that. But now there's more Baby Yoda merchandise than you could ever possibly need.
Talking to Jen Chaney, TV critic at Vulture. She is giving us some great counter programming. Shows you can watch, maybe some movies you can watch when you want to take a break from politics. Maybe tonight, maybe in the days to come. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been doing some of this? Have you been watching things to give you a break from all the hullabaloo? Are you going to be watching a TV show or movie? Maybe. Tonight, and you'll check the results later or tomorrow or next week, whenever they're in. Join in at 800-642-1234. Here's another show you wrote about. It's pretty racy, it sounds like, and pretty exciting, and it's about chess. Tell us about The Queen's Gambit.
Yeah, so The Queen's Gambit debuted recently on Netflix, and it's about a young woman, a chess prodigy, from a very young age. And it's basically following her from when she's an orphan as a child into her adulthood and really emerging as an elite chess player, but also dealing with a lot of demons from her childhood still, and including addiction. And Anya Taylor-Joy plays the lead role. You've seen her probably in some other things, like the most recent adaptation of Emma. And she is just an extraordinary actress. So she just brings so much to the part. And I've just been fascinated that, you know, when I gave it a very positive review, but I just wasn't sure how many people were going to watch a show about chess. And it has been very popular. I see a lot of conversation about it on social media. So a lot of people are really liking it.
Now, you wrote a piece about some fun marathons and other specials on your non, you know, TV news network kinds of things, movie marathons, TV marathons, weird sports. What kind of things are out there tonight for when people want to cut away from election coverage?
Yeah, so I wrote a piece about I didn't even go into streaming because obviously there's a million things you can watch on streaming, but there's sort of counter programming out there on other cable and networks. So if you want to take a break from election coverage, you could, for example, go watch the movie Election, which is running over and over and over again. Or you could, ESPN2 is running, you mentioned the silly sports, just a number of competitions that sound incredibly silly. My favorite being Pogo Palooza 2020, which is apparently an extreme pogo stick contest. And if I can manage it, I might actually just try to watch that for a couple minutes because it just sounds fascinating to me. But if you go to vulture.com and you can find the article, and it's a whole list of 12 different options for you tonight.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. We've got Jeff with us in Superior. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Well, you know, they closed the border with Canada, but you can reach into their culture. And I can't say what it is on TV or on the radio, but I would say Poops Creek, if you know what I mean.
I do. S-Words Creek. And I talk to standards and practices or equivalent here about whether I could say that. Because, Jeff, I've been watching that a lot, too. And it's short. It's fun. It's fast. It gets really good. And I grew up with these people on SCTV, Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara. What's grabbed you about that show, Jeff?
Well, it makes me cry. It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be a part of it, and it really does take you away from whatever's going on, family, work, society, whatever.
Fantastic.
It's the humor that you don't see every day, but we're all capable of. That's how I feel about it.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for sharing that one. That's one of mine, S-C-H-I-T-T-S, Creek. I won't pronounce it on the air. I got the word that I can, but I just can't break my radio training. Jen, though, this show, and I've had the same experience as a lot of people. The first few episodes, like, yeah, but then keep watching, and it gets really, really good.
Yeah, you know, I feel remiss because I have watched a few episodes, and like you, I love Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy, and I especially love what Catherine O'Hara does with her character on the show. Like, she... The way she pronounces words just makes absolutely no sense, but it's amazing. But I have not made it. Yeah, I've not made it through the whole every season of that show still. Because
I'm just
I was behind
on it. A few seasons in myself, but it really took off after the first few for me. But that's got to be a job hazard, Jen, for a TV critic. There's too much TV for even you as your job to watch all of.
Yeah, I mean, you have to accept that. That you're going to miss certain things and just kind of resign yourself to it. However, you know, that's a show that won like every Emmy in the comedy field this year. And so I probably should have been a little more diligent about catching up with that one.
Jeff, thanks for calling in. We're talking to Jen Chaney right now, TV critic at Vulture, looking at some of the best shows available right now to give us a break from political news when we want and need it.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What shows have you been hooked on lately? What do you recommend other people watch for a little bit of escapism? Or maybe you're thinking about starting a new series and you want to ask about it. Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Keely Boltina. We are talking with Jen Chaney, TV critic at Vulture, and we're looking at some of the best shows of the year so far to give us a break from this political coverage.
And we're taking your recommendations or questions at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to our callers now. Tim is with us in Mount Horeb. Tim, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Tim?
Ray Bradbury always had a good futuristic outlook on civilization, and long-awaited third season started of Star Trek, and that's always a pretty good way to forget today's problems.
Tim, thanks so much. What's the new Star? Tim, before I let you go, what's the new Star Trek called?
Discovery.
Discovery. Thank you. I couldn't think of it there. Tim, thanks for the call. I hear good things about Star Trek Discovery. Jen, is that one on your radar?
It's not. I'm not a Star Trek person. But certainly, if you're trying to challenge yourself to find something to binge, and you say, I'm going to watch every Star Trek, every franchise, that'll keep you busy for a very long time.
That would forever. Now, a problem I have, Jen, and I assume I'm not alone, is, oh, that sounds like a great show. Oh, I don't have that streaming service yet. Oh, that sounds good. Do I want to pay another whatever bucks a month for yet another service? It's so balkanized now. It's hard to keep up with all the stuff. How can we triage that? Because, yeah, Discovery, I think, is on what, CBS's streaming service.
Yeah, CBS All Access. That's right. It is really, really difficult. I was thinking about if I were to recommend one streaming service for someone, but it's hard to narrow it down to one. Yeah. I would say certainly Netflix, because so many of the shows that they put out there, generate a lot of conversation. Just within the past year, though, this year, we had so many streaming services launch. And the one that I think was really most worthwhile has been HBO Max. Because it has all the HBO series, and I think HBO just proportionally puts out the best television. They don't put out as much as Netflix does, but almost everything they put out is good. But in addition to that, it has a lot of Warner Brothers shows, so like All of Friends and The Big Bang Theory and Looney Tunes cartoons and Turner Classic Movies. There's tons of great films on there. So there's just a huge library on HBO Max that is great in addition to the new stuff.
Let's go back to our callers now. Susan is with us in Chippewa Falls. Susan, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to recommend, Susan?
I would love to recommend two things. It's kind of a double whammy. The show is Psych, and they just came out with their second post-show movie. Anybody who is a kid or a teen of the 80s, it's super fun to see all the cameos on that show. And it's just very light and humorous and brilliant. It's been getting me through the fall. But the other exciting thing for me is that it's on the new Peacock, and that's free, and that's brilliant.
Brilliant. Oh, what's that show? I've seen the name, and I know nothing about it, Susan.
Oh, no, the fact that...
Oh, Peacock, Psych is brilliant. I gotcha. Okay, that makes more sense. Susan, thanks a lot for the call. Now, my kids are not children of the 80s. They love Psych, and I've gotten sucked into watching it in part because of all those cameos, like, oh, that guy from that show, and things like that. Jen, can you talk about the value of digging up a show with a long run? Maybe we didn't watch it when it was on TV, and just embracing it and going nuts with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and even if you did watch it when it was on TV, if it's been a while, there's something immensely comforting about going back to rewatch something that you haven't seen in a long time. I feel like, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of people were doing that. Like, I know people who were going back, and I might have been one of them, rewatching Lost again because they hadn't watched that in a really long time. And that's the real value of these subscription services, is that they do have, in most cases, a lot of older television shows that you can just watch in their entirety for as many hours as you can tolerate in a row.
Thanks a lot for that recommendation. We'll go to Don with us now in Merrill. Don, hello.
Hi, this is Don. I just wanted to recommend the TV show that's based, written and performed in German, but does have English subtitles and English voiceover. That it's called Dark. It's on Netflix and is an absolute mind twister of a sci-fi slash time travel show. If you were to need to get up to use the restroom or something, you definitely want to put it on pause because it is very, very deep, very intriguing. And I would recommend that you would read the subtitles rather than the voiceover. There's a little bit lost. I've watched it both ways and in German. And there's a little bit lost if you don't actually hear their expressions in German.
Hmm. Don, thanks so much for that recommendation. That's one I've seen some critical buzz about. Jen, is that one on your radar? Dark.
Yes, I watched the first season of it. Maybe I'd watched the first two. I can't even remember now. But there's a third season that I actually have not seen yet. But yes, he's absolutely right that you have to be paying very close attention. And it is kind of like a mystery type of show. Like when it first debuted, I thought, oh, they picked this up because it has a little bit of a Stranger Things kind of vibe, not quite as mainstream as Stranger Things. But if you like that kind of show, then you would probably like Dark, but it's not for kids, to be clear.
Good. Thank you for the note, Don. Thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. Getting some good alternatives to watch during a busy political season, some counter programming, some great TV shows, maybe movies too. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Jen Chaney with us, TV critic for Vulture. Russ is with us now in Pleasant Springs. Russ, hi.
Hi, I'm not much of a television watcher, but I am a 74-year-old Vietnam veteran, and at this time of year with Veterans Day being right around the corner, I always watch three of my favorite. I don't watch any of the Vietnam movies. They're a little too harsh, too close to home. But every year at this time, I watch number one, The Longest Day, which I believe Sean Connery had his first acting part in as he marches ashore after the initial invasion. And then Patton with George C. Scott and Saving Private Ryan.
Russ, thanks a lot for the call. He's got a theme going there for movies. Jen, I know TV is your main gig. Are there movies you like to go to and maybe, like Russ does, build a theme around them?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. At Vulture, we've been doing this thing throughout the pandemic called Friday Night Movie Club, where a different staffer will pick a movie and watch it and tweet about it on Friday nights. And that has been really great. And again, another opportunity to go back and like look at older things. But this week, we're actually doing it election style. We have eight staffers recommending a different movie, and people are voting in a poll. And my pick is When Harry Met Sally. And so far I'm doing pretty well. There's a really good chance we might be watching When Harry Met Sally on Friday.
Excellent. Good luck. Well, Russ, thanks for calling in. Yeah, The Longest Day, I think, at every English-speaking male actor in the world in it. Time for one more caller. Paula is with us in Oshkosh. Paula, hi.
Hi. Oh, thanks so much. I'm so excited to share two Netflix shows. One is called Ratched. It's a prequel to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's very dark, and it just made me want to read the book again and, of course, watch the movie. It is a book, right? I think so.
I believe so, right. Yeah.
Yes. And then the other one is, it's called The Black Mirror, and it's the tagline is, it's the Twilight Zone for the digital age. It's just absolutely fascinating and scary, and kind of we're on our devices too much and that sort of thing. So
Paula, thank you so much for sharing both of those, Ratched and The Black Mirror. Jen, just a minute or so left. Any other suggestions you want to leave us with, maybe to spin off of some of the things our caller recommended, or just things you want to make sure you get to?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, looking ahead, there's stuff that's coming out in the coming weeks. And one that I will mention is the fourth season of The Crown. That's also a Netflix series. It's the series about Queen Elizabeth, and it kind of follows her throughout the years. And this season, we get to the 1980s with Margaret Thatcher and Princess Diana coming into the picture. So it's a really fascinating time, and it's just such a well done show. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but it's terrific.
That's one my wife has been. She's usually out ahead of me on most TV shows, I got to admit, Jen. And I should just briefly, what's your plan for watching tonight, if I may ask?
Well, I'm going to be writing something with my colleague, Catherine Van Arendonk. So I'm going to be flipping around a bit. I'll probably be on MSNBC a lot, but flipping to NBC and Fox and just, you know, trying to keep my head on straight.
All right, Jen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Jen Chaney is a TV critic for Vulture. She was with us to talk about some of the best shows of the year and what to check out if we're looking for a little break from political news. And you can keep sharing your suggestions. Head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page and give us ideas on what we can watch.